Welcome to the 100% Financed Podcast, home of entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors everywhere. 100PF is not just an online business, it's a culture, helping you make more money while maintaining pretty credit. If you're looking for great content on credit repair, business credit, creative financing, motivation, and online business, then you found the right podcast. Listen up as Juan Pablo, the People's Mentor, presents another great podcast episode for your listening pleasure. Juan Pablo, give these beautiful people the tools they need to succeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is me, Juan Pablo, with the 100% Finance Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Such a beautiful day today. Spring is around the corner. So now I want you guys to spring forth and get you some multifamily properties, because that's what it's all about, the big money. And speaking of which, we actually have some big networkers. These guys are networking 24/7. I see them at every single event. So I'm like, you know what? We got to do business together. So I have Eric as well as Avery on the podcast today to talk about commercial mortgages. I know that may be a strange topic to some people, because many beginning real estate investors tend to focus primarily on the residential side of real estate. But what about the commercial side? So welcome, Eric and Avery. Thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for having us, Juan. We appreciate it. Good to be here, Juan. Looking forward to imparting some knowledge on the folks today.
Excellent. So this is the first time doing a two-on-one type of deal, so I'm looking forward to that. So I appreciate you guys carving out the time for our listeners out there. So let's go ahead and dive into it. Commercial mortgages. So number one question, if you can tell us about yourselves and about your business in regard to lending.
Sure. Well, I'll go first. To tell you a little bit about myself, my name is Eric Barlow. I am originally from the Chicagoland market, Juan, but now reside in Atlanta metro area. And I've been in funding going on probably the last 13 years. And, you know, business is booming right now, man. Business is really great. You know, a lot of investors are, like you said, making that leap over to commercial, which, like you said, also is where the big money is at. So we just take pride in being able to finance a lot of those investors and get them into their first multifamily, which could be a smaller project, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 units, as well as, you know, financing our investors into, you know, 100, 150 units, 200 unit projects. So it's a great time right now.
Well, you know what? Hey, guys, this is Avery Rucker. I actually work with Eric Barlow as well. And just to echo Eric's sentiments, you know, I've been working in the commercial space for, gosh, you said it's 13 years, Eric. I guess it's probably approaching 15 for me. You know, always worked in the commercial space. Actually, back in the day, worked for one of the largest small commercial privately owned companies in the country. I myself originated about $126 million worth of loans over a 2-year period. So, I mean, I understand the space. Eric understands the space. You know, we're working in it, you know, on a daily basis. So, like Eric said, business is booming. We want to see more people get into it. There's definitely a lot of funds out there available for investors, whether you're new or whether you're a seasoned investor. There's definitely a lot of money in this space available, and we want to see more people take advantage of it.
I like that, Avery. More people get into it. And that's true. I was talking to a gentleman today, shout out to Ramon Tukes, and we were talking about the differences between flipping residential and commercial. And it hit me. I said, man, the only difference between a single family and a 10 unit is just a zero. It's the same process. The only difference maker is one single digit, a zero. So just got to get into it, guys. So speaking about getting to it, meaning the meat of the conversation. So I asked this to you first, Avery, and then if you can piggyback off of Avery, Eric, I would greatly appreciate it. So this is the next question. dig into it. What is commercial lending, and what are the differences between commercial and residential mortgages?
Well, commercial specifically is any type of property that has let's actually start talking about multifamily, right? Because what most people think about when they think of commercial is apartment buildings, the big buildings that we see all around the country. So for a beginner, they should think about commercial as being any multifamily property that has more than five units. That is sort of the starting point. So if you've got five apartment units in a building, that is considered a commercial property. And then so we sort of extrapolate it from there into other property types. If you go around and you see retail space where you have your mom and pop shops, if you see industrial space, if you see self-storage, those are all the different types of commercial properties that you can deal with. Now, the big point, though, that I think you're getting to is the difference between a commercial and a residential mortgage. And there's really a couple things that come to mind. You're typically going to have a shorter amortization period. Usually when people think of their typical home mortgage, it's a 30-year mortgage. And we have the ability to do some of that in the commercial space, but usually a traditional commercial mortgage is going to have, you know, a 20-year amortization period, 25-year amortization period, just because the bank wants their money back. Also, you're typically going to find a little bit of a higher interest rate on a commercial mortgage versus your traditional mortgage, because once again, with a traditional mortgage, you're owning the home, you're living in the home. With a commercial property, it's known it's either going to be a business there or it's going to be an investment property, so there's more risk inherent in the transaction. And then I think the other big piece of it, we traditionally will always have a prepayment penalty in the commercial mortgage space, meaning you've got to pay the bank a fee if you pay off that mortgage before a certain time in the future. And usually those prepayment penalties range from, you know, gosh, 3% of the loan amount for 3 years, maybe it would be 5% of the loan amount for 5 years, something in that realm. But you're rarely going to be able to get a commercial mortgage that does not include a prepayment penalty. And then the fees are different. In fact, Eric, why don't you talk about, you know, the difference in fees that we see in commercial versus residential? Because for the new investor, it's eye-opening, the difference in cost.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Avery. So, and that's one of the things that investors really need to understand as they're making a shift from residential to commercial. I had a client, Juan, probably about a year ago, and you know, we were doing a deal for him, and again, this was his first deal into commercial, and I remember him saying that this is the big boy world. You know, in other words, he was, you know, him switching from residential to commercial, you know, obviously he was moving to an avenue where he had much more revenue possibilities out there with his deals, but you know, he understood that as he was making that switch, it cost a little more to get those deals done. And it's important that investors understand that. For example, in the residential world, when you're acquiring a single family property and you're, as with any lender, typically you're going to be required to do an appraisal. You know, an appraisal on a residential property, you know, might be $400, $350 or whatever the case may be. But for a, you know, a multifamily property, even a small multifamily property, it can easily be, you know, 3-4 times that. And then obviously as you get into larger properties, 20 units, 30 units, 50 units, 100 units, or retail space, you know, strip mall that has 3 or 4 or 5 individual units or space for different businesses, you can easily pay, you know, a couple thousand, you know, $3,000-$4,000 for the appraisal. So, you know, you're when you're transitioning into the world of commercial, that again has a much higher revenue possibility for different investors. It's just important that they understand where those, you know, your ability to make more money also comes with the requirement to spend a little more money to get in the deal, if that makes sense. So the appraisal is definitely one area that you'll have additional costs. Typically with most lenders, even your traditional banks, you know, whether you're going to Bank of America, Chase, or whatever, they typically have a due diligence fee as well. So usually in commercial, your upfront cost, if you will, usually consists of some type of deposit for appraisal and deposit for due diligence for that lender, which that could also be, you know, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, depending on the size of the property. It could be smaller, could be more. So, you know, that's just, again, when you're in the moving into the commercial world to make larger profit per deal, it's going to cost a little more to get into the deal, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And I don't mean sense as in S-E-N-S-E, but sense as in C-E-N-T-S, because that's what it's all about, right? It's about that money. And that's what you guys got to do. I'm talking to the listeners here. That you got to consume this content, listen to it over and over to the point you fully understand it, and then you can start applying it so you can get some sense as well. So let's move forward, guys, and let's talk about numbers since we're talking about dollars. And that's what makes sense, really, are the numbers. How many deals have you guys funded with commercial lending?
That, you know what, Juan? Oh, sorry, Juan. No, that's a loaded question, actually.
Okay.
I mean, gosh, for me, I know just singly, gosh, at least 1,000 loans. At least 1,000.
Dude.
At least 1,000. At least 8,000. Because you've got to remember that, again, my background is commercial, so I'm also from the Chicagoland area. And so there's a time frame where I was, again, running deals for a very, very large organization and just doing deals in that small commercial space, call it between $100,000 and $2 million, I mean, we did a lot of deals. I mean, we did a lot of deals. So I guess sort of my point in saying that is we understand the space. We know it well. I mean, in my opinion, you know, what your listeners are getting from 100% Finance is really the best of breed, you know, financing and structuring when it comes to commercial deals, because Eric and I have so much experience in this space.
Excellent, excellent. So over 1,000. So let me ask you about those 1,000, and I'll ask this question for Eric. Out of those 1,000 deals that, let's say collectively, you gentlemen have done, providing people with commercial lending, can commercial lending be used to flip as well as to rent properties? And if so, do you guys provide that type of lending?
So I'll jump in here, Juan, excuse me, with to answer your question, yes. Commercial lending can be used for both essentially buying and holding, right? So acquiring properties to hold as rentals, as well as flipping. I mean, it depends on the structure of the finance that you're getting or that, you know, a borrower would be getting. But you can absolutely use it for acquiring and holding as well as flipping. To give you kind of an example of the difference of the two, essentially, if you're planning on acquiring the property and keeping it as a rental, you are more so looking for what we call a commercial rental loan, right? So it's more of your, excuse me, again, you know, a situation where the loan could be amortized over 20, 25, or a 30-year period, and kind of that financing that Avery spoke about earlier. and the terms he kind of gave earlier. That was more so for a rental loan for someone that's planning on keeping the property long term. Every so often, somebody will use that funding to acquire a property that they're planning on flipping. But keep in mind, with that type of long-term commercial rental funding, usually those loans, you know, regardless of whether you're dealing with a lender or a traditional bank, typically those loans come with some form of prepayment penalty. So if someone is going to flip, they have to build in, you know, the cost of that prepayment penalty into their numbers to make sure it makes sense. So, but we have had people that have used that program for flipping, but usually that's used for buying and holding. Now, on the flip side, we also have the ability to provide essentially commercial bridge financing for investors that maybe want to acquire. I had a gentleman call me today about a property in Cedartown, Georgia, which is about an hour and 15 minutes west of Atlanta. And it's an 8-unit building, and it needs rehab. He's acquiring it for, I want to say, $150. He's going to put about another $100 into it to rehab, but that essentially is bridge financing. Now, at that point, once he rehabs it, he can either flip the property for profit, because we're estimating he'll be in it for about $250, and we're estimating it'll be worth about $400 at that point. So he could flip it for profit if he decided to, and he's right now deciding whether he wants to flip it or whether he wants to keep it as a rental. But that's the type of funding that you could use essentially to flip commercial properties.
Perfect. So the listeners, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, while you're listening to this, right? You're probably thinking, well, I can't get started with commercial lending because it's big money, you know, and I'm just getting started. Or you might be thinking, well, I can't get started with commercial lending it's because of the net worth. I don't have it. I might have a negative net worth. I'm in the hole. Just graduated from college, student loan debt up to my eyeballs, with no assets in my portfolio. So for that person who's just getting started, who thinks that embarking on a commercial deal can be daunting to that person, what misconceptions can you dispel? And I'll start with Avery, and then Eric, if you can piggyback on that.
Juan, I think that's a great question. I think the biggest misconception that we can dispel, and Eric and I see this all the time, is people think that it is out of their reach to get a deal done. Because they say, oh, well, you know, like you said, I don't have money. Where am I going to get the down payment from? You know, the one thing about this business is you have more success when you don't go at it alone, right? I mean, a big part of, 100% finance is helping people get funded, right? So whether they're coming in the door and getting a line of credit, whether they are bringing in a partner to fill that gap, it's all possible. So realistically, all that they have to do is come in and tell us the story, you know, bring us the deal, tell us the story, and, you know, we can help and guide them in ways where they can find the capital. Or if they have a credit issue, you know, maybe we can help them put together a situation where they bring in a credit partner. So I think the biggest thing to dispel from new investors is just sort of the I can't attitude. You know, if they want to do it and they bring us a deal and they're willing to be coachable, listen to our ideas, because we're always willing to be flexible. We're always willing to do things that are sort of outside of the box. I mean, that's why we're in the business. You know, if they're willing to do those things and work hard at it, we can typically get a deal done for someone. So really, I would just say them understanding there's really no obstacles, just as long as they know what a good deal looks like. If it's a viable deal on paper, we can figure out a way for that borrower to get a deal done. I mean, I think you would probably say something similar, wouldn't you, Eric?
I would, I would. And I think it's important for Avery and Juan, I think it's important for your listeners, Juan, to really know essentially where our programs fit for them, right? And I tell many investors that call us about commercial deals, you know, the reality is if 100 investors walk into the bank, you pick the bank, right? Chase, Bank of America, whoever it may be. If 100 investors walk into a traditional bank to essentially try to get financing for an investment property, and especially on the commercial side for commercial property, on average, 94%+ of those investors walk out without a loan, without getting approved, right? And you know, there's various reasons that come along with that, but when I'm talking about these 100 investors, Juan, I'm talking about solid investors, you know, good credit scores, you know, solid income. But in many cases, when you walk into the bank, essentially, if all your I's aren't dotted and your T's aren't crossed and the situation isn't perfect, the bank doesn't want to touch it. The traditional bank, a traditional financing from the bank, they're not looking to touch that deal or that particular borrower. Well, our programs essentially exist for that other 94%. You know, we want to work with those people that walk out of the bank essentially and couldn't get financing. Now, if they can dot all those I's and cross all those T's, are we still able to help them? Yes, we have programs that essentially are really going to mimic what you're going to get from the bank. You know, it's in our bank financing programs. But we have a solution for that other 94%. Who's typically only other option as it pertains to commercial, if they couldn't qualify at the bank, their only other option was typically hard money, so double-digit higher interest rate. Well, with us, we have a solution for them in the middle where from a qualifying standpoint, they're going to be you know, we're going to be closer to hard money where we're not going to make them jump through all the hurdles and hoops that they would have to jump through at the bank, but from a rate and terms standpoint, we're going to be much closer to the bank where, you know, if they don't have income, you know, a tax return, excuse me, that they can show that really justifies the true income that they're making, you know, where they would get turned down at the bank for that, we can still get the deal done and have them very close to those bank rates. You know, if the bank wants to see a 720 FICO, but they only have a, you know, 665, we're still able to get that deal done and have them, you know, much closer to bank rates and terms than if they were to go, you know, the alternative route, which would typically be hard money. So it's a much better solution, you know, for those investors that feel like they can't get financing for whatever this reason may be that they may have heard when they walked into that bank. There's, you know, many alternative programs out there that we were able to structure for them and put them into to get them into the property and get the deal done. You know, in closing that last part out about what I'm talking about, we had an investor, Juan, that had $600,000 cash in the bank. He had another $600,000 in the bank, $400,000 in his stock account, his E-Trade, I believe it was, account, so that he could liquidate. So he had $1 million that he could, you know, get access to tomorrow. And he was buying a $400,000 property, and he was trying to get financing from the bank that he had his money at, and they turned him down because his FICO score was under 700. And he had recently sold his business, and he didn't have 2 years' tax returns. He only had 1 year tax return. And that was a deal that we were able to slam and get done for him, you know, in a situation where his bank told him they wouldn't be able to do anything for him. So that's the type of, you know, people and funding that people were able to help out and funding we're able to provide.
I remember vividly you guys sharing that story with me last time we linked up in person. And I had a similar case happen to me, but obviously I have $1 million at my disposal. But I was buying a deal. I bought about three deals in 1 year, closed with three deals in 1 year. And in that same year, I was working on my fourth deal. However, my preferred lender that I was working with refused to provide me with another mortgage. And I asked them all, well, what's up? I mean, my credit is looking very pretty right now. That's a high FICO score, low debt-to-credit ratio, and at the time I was working at a 9-to-5, so I had the W-2s, and I was making decent money at my job, no losses on my tax returns. I look pretty to the eyes of a commercial lender. However, this commercial lender said, well, Juan Pablo, I don't know about this one because you're more of a risk now. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you know how people get when it's hard for them to share with you the truth, and they try to make that weird voice. Well, like they're constipated or something. I just can't do it because you can get hit by a bus tomorrow and we'll be out of 3 or 4 loans for you. So we have to wait. How long? We'll get back with you and let you know. And so then I went with a person just like Eric and Avery are. They said, hey, you know what? You're still a good borrower. You know what? Let me bring you over to this side, and I'll help you with the lending that you need. And, that's what I have to say. So you guys are pretty good at what you do. So before I answer this, I mean, I'm not going to answer because I have my own opinion, but I want to, you know, hear this from the mortgage lending standpoint from commercial lenders. Do you advise people to go out there and find a deal first and then find the money? Or talk to a commercial lender first to see if they get the financing that they need and then find a deal?
You know what, Juan Pablo, I will tell you. I am a proponent of finding the financing first, and I will tell you why. So let's just go over some very basic qualifications, right? I mean, generally speaking, for the program, you know, if you've got, you know, a 640 credit score or better, you know, you got a little bit of money in the bank, we'll pretty much be able to get you approved, right? But what people have to realize is you have to line your deals up with the amount of financing or the structure of financing that you will be able to be approved for. So it doesn't really make sense to go and find, you know, a deal where you're paying $1 million for this property and it needs all this rehab and all this other stuff, but that's not the financing that you can actually get approved for. So I'm of the opinion that you go, you know, you talk to some folks like Eric and myself. You get approved, you get all your ducks in a row, you know what that deal is going to look like, and then you go and find a bunch of deals that will fit those parameters because, A, you're already approved, you already know what the deal is going to look like, and, B, you're able to pick from, you know, the best group of those similar transactions so that you are doing a best-of-breed deal to begin with. And if you want to do more than one deal, we already know what you look like. Bring a bunch of deals. We'll get them all done at the same time so that, you know, you're able to add a little bit more leverage to your business.
And I think to piggyback on that, Avery, and Juan, another thing to add to that, one of the most important aspects about going in and essentially seeing what you can get qualified for first is now you as a buyer have leverage. Once you go in and you know that you can qualify for, you know, a $400,000 mortgage for a commercial property, let's say, and we've looked at everything and we see that that's not going to be an issue for you to qualify for, now you have leverage in your negotiations and conversations with the seller and with the real estate agent representing the seller. So, you know, in many cases, you're going to want to have already vetted the financing out so that you know what you can get approved for, and then also you have that leverage in dealing with them. And you, in many cases, if you're buying a property, I'm not sure where, you know, Juan, everybody finds properties differently. So, but if you're finding a property off the MLS and dealing with a realtor, a lot of times they won't even deal with you in the residential world, and especially in the commercial world, if they don't know that you have that financing together. That in their eyes and in many sellers' eyes, when you can present yourself as a borrower that already has financing backing them, that in their eyes kind of makes your offer legit and makes you a serious player and contender for that property, especially if they have multiple offers on it. So it's drastically important, in my opinion, that that you get yourself approved first and see what you can do and what type of financing you can get first, and then you go find the property, like Avery said, to fit that financing.
Well, and then Juan Pablo, also to Eric's point, you wouldn't believe how many times we get phone calls from, agents and sellers on the commercial side saying, hey, is this borrower for real? And so we end up having conversations, talking about the financing, talking about, when we think we'll be able to close the transaction, how strong the borrower is, what kind of reserves they have. Have we done due diligence, on the borrower? We get those questions all the time. So it's really of the utmost importance to have us as a part of your team up front, because we're able to steer those conversations. And then oftentimes what happens is if the transaction is taking longer than normal, if something pops up, we're able to go in and negotiate as your advocate so that, if you need a little bit more time to get your money together, whatever it is, we can go in. They already know that, you're working with a lender that's well thought of, created that relationship already. And so we're able to manage that process and still make sure that you get to the closing table, regardless of what the situation is that's sort of slowing down the process.
Oh, perfect. I agree with both of you gentlemen. I have to say it as well. Find the money and then find a deal that fits your pockets. It's that simple, guys. And you want to have what's called a team, a board of advisors. Because now, outside of just commercial lending, people reach out to me since I'm on various platforms on social media. And they ask me a lot of questions. Hey, how do you structure your contracts in buy and hold strategy? Or, hey, how do you solidify the real estate laws and all this other jargon and stuff? I said, bro, I don't know all this information, but I do know people who do. And you can hear right now on a podcast, you have Avery, you have Eric, who are bosses, both knowledgeable and experienced in commercial lending. All right, so the next question I have for you two gentlemen are motivational speakers. So we'll start with Eric, and then we'll follow up with Avery. Who's your favorite motivational speaker and why?
Oh, that can almost be a loaded question in itself too, right? There's so many there are a few
wait,
I really
Pablo?
Enjoy.
I appreciate that, Eric, man. You the man. I appreciate it.
Well, Juan's on top, right? Juan's on top. So really you want to know my number two. You want to know the number
right,
two, right? No, but that's a good question, man. For me, as far as motivational speakers would go, it would have to, I would say probably Tony Robbins, with a very close second for me of Eric Thomas. Those are probably my top two behind Juan. That I would say, but Tony, for me, I've listened to and followed for years. And one of the things I like is he really gets more so than most into the psychology of why essentially you're doing what you're doing or why you're performing at the level you're performing at, more so than just telling you, hey, work harder, move faster, do this, do that. He gets more so into your beliefs, your habits, and why you're doing what you're doing, which I think is a very big deal. It's a very big deal, and more to me, the more you learn why you're doing what you're doing or why you're not doing what you should be doing, the easier it is for you to turn that around and do what you need to do.
Great. Avery?
Well, you know what? Number one is Juan Pablo, like Eric said. I'm big Juan Pablo fan, so big ups to Juan Pablo. I would actually have to agree with Eric on Tony Robbins. I mean, not to really put it out there like that, but, I mean, Eric and I are both believers in that self-help sort of movement. I mean, we really do believe that, you know, getting ahead in life is really all about working on yourself first. And I think Tony Robbins does a fantastic job of just being authentic and getting to the root of the problem and getting people to understand themselves, understand, you know, why they are in the current situation that they are in, and helping them put together a plan to dig out of it. In fact, I think anybody who has access to Netflix, Tony Robbins actually has a Netflix documentary that's out there that's called I'm Not Your Guru. And I think everybody who has access to Netflix really needs to see that, because you actually get some insight into Tony and his mind and the way he thinks about things and the way he tries to structure helping people. One other thing that I'd like to throw in there too, I'm a big fan also of Napoleon Hill. Most people know him from having written Think and Grow Rich. And so what I will tell people about Napoleon Hill is, you know, you really shouldn't stop at Think and Grow Rich, because what a lot of people don't know is Think and Grow Rich is actually an excerpt from what his real life work was. So I implore everybody to go out and find a book called The 16 Laws of Success, or The Laws of Success. It's a fantastic book, because it literally gives you the rules for, you know, finding and creating success in your life, from, you know, building mastermind groups to, you know, dealing with relationships and everything else. So, you know, for me, Tony Robbins is great motivational speaker, and then great book, like I said, Law of Success by Napoleon Hill.
That's excellent. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, Eric Thomas, as well as Napoleon Hill. And it was funny, because I have Hollywood Ryan over here with me, and he mentioned, because he overheard the conversation when Eric Thomas was mentioned. He's like, oh, so that means you don't read. Meaning, in other words, you just watch his videos. But it's still good nonetheless. And I know some of the listeners out there are saying that, you know, my biggest motivation is these bills, man. These bills are motivating me to go to work. You know, I'm working because I'm motivated to afford my lifestyle. So I have a very, very important question for two of you. And I'm sure the two of you may have different answers to this next question. Who has the best chicken shop in Chicago?
Oh, God.
Listen, hey, for me, I can't speak for Avery, but for me, hands down, it's Harold's Chicken. Now, it depends on which location you go to. For those of y'all that are listening from Chicago, you know that that it definitely depends on what location you go to. So I'm going to have to go with 103rd and Halsted. Harold's Chicken.
Ooh, yeah, you know, I second that motion. You know, and so we're talking business, right? And so I've never been in a franchise restaurant like Harold's Chicken where every Harold's Chicken tastes different, right? That's a very, very that's a very, very odd type of thing. So I'm going to roll with Harold's Chicken. I don't know which location, because it's different every time you go. But I'm gonna roll with Harold's Chicken also.
Man, Avery, that sounds like a backhanded compliment right there.
Well, hey, take it as it is, brother. Take it as it is.
Okay, so I have one final question for you guys. What last words of wisdom do you have for those aspiring to become commercial real estate investors?
Well, I will say, well, whatever the situation is, if you want to do it, if you want to aspire to invest in commercial real estate, the opportunity is there for you. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. The opportunity is there. The lending mechanism is there. You know, all the mechanisms are there for you to be able to do a successful deal. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. So, you know, everybody's seen the movie The Pursuit of Happiness, right, with Will Smith. So the guy that movie was about, I actually used to work for him, a guy by the name of Chris Gardner. And, you know, I sat in his office one day, and he said, look, you know what, I'm going to be one of the first African-Americans that they are going to do a movie about my life, you know, sort of from this Wall Street perspective. And I look up 10 years later from us having this conversation, and lo and behold, you know, he said it happened. And so for somebody who wants to invest in real estate, it's the same thing, regardless of what obstacles you have, right? Because this guy was living in a train station in San Francisco. If he can get past that obstacle and reach, you know, the pinnacle of finance in the U.S., you can easily figure out a way to put together some partners, fix your credit, get a line of credit with, you know, Juan Pablo, and buy a commercial building. So I would just say put your mind to it, put some partners together, get some education, get a lender like us behind you, and go and find a deal. We'll make it happen.
And now to kind of come behind that out, really two of my favorite quotes that are up on my wall, and one of them is, I will leap from my cot while failure sleeps another hour. And I think if you relate that to real estate, there are so many people out here that are just really not going after it, Juan. They're not staying up late and getting up early, you know. And at the end of the day, if you want to be more successful than the person next to you, you have to outthink them, and you have to work harder than them. And I think that's why I have that saying actually right next to my bed. It's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. I will leap from my cot while failure sleeps another hour, because my competitors are out still sleeping while I'm getting up. While I'm still working late at night, many of them are asleep. So again, not to say that you have to work 24/7, but you have to outwork the person next to you. And real estate is competitive, and so you have to outwork you know, those people that are out there trying to find that deal. They come to talk to that seller right after you talk to them. They're putting in an offer. You know, you need to get your offer in, you know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes before theirs, or talk with the realtor a couple more times, or whatever the case may be, to outwork that other investor that's trying to get that same deal. So that's probably one of my you know, keys for wisdom for them, or kind of call to action for them, is to get out there and work. And, you know, it's not, at the end of the day, like Avery said, it's not hard to put deals together. You all have heard about the financing that you all have available through 100% Finance. And if you're able to tie your commercial lending with your, you know, unsecured credit line funding from 100% Finance, I mean, you're able to really structure deals that are going to make sense and work for you. So that'll be the first thing. And the second thing, my second saying, which is probably my favorite, is you can make money or you can make excuses, but you can't make both. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's exactly what Avery was talking about with Chris Gardner. I mean, he was sleeping on the bathroom floor in a train station. I mean, he had plenty of excuses he can make to not become who he was. But he didn't make excuses. He made it happen. So you can make money, you can make excuses, but you can't make both. You know, it's plenty of deals out there. Some people are going to be out there and tell you that there's no deals that you can find. Yeah, those people are making excuses. There are plenty of deals out here. There's plenty of money to fund your deals. There's plenty of, ways to put deals together and use the unique strategies that Juan teaches you to get your deals done and get them financed. And we're just here to help you all do that, and we want to make that happen for you. So that would be it, Juan.
I appreciate that from both of you, from Avery as well as from Eric. So if you guys would like to speak to both of them on an individual level, only thing you have to do is apply. So if you go to 100%finance.com and click on the services link, you'll be able to apply for commercial lending. So these guys will love to provide you with the consultation. So just make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, meaning you have your numbers together, whether it's documents. They may ask you some questions about your personal situation. So just be prepared. That's all I'm saying. And they will love to provide you with a consultation to get you funded for your next commercial property. So thank you, gentlemen. I greatly appreciate your time, because I know you guys are busy working, but you spend time to share your wealth of knowledge to these listeners out there. So for everyone that's listening, just remember, this is to your success. Continue to earn passively and live passionately. I'm Juan Pablo. Peace.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast and received a ton of value. Speaking of value, you'll definitely receive even more when you subscribe to our website. Not only do you receive the 24 tools we use to help us with our real estate, business, and credit repair needs, but you'll also get access to our free webinars that's designed for Q&A, as well as for credit repair, business credit, a ton of information. So make sure you subscribe to 100%finance.com. Check out our products on credit repair, ink removal, real estate coaching, and especially business funding, and many more. Check us out, 100%finance.com. Peace.